Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. A man was arrested twice in Juneau last month for fraud, theft, and attempted escape. Enrico Ronquillo falsely impersonated a California citizen to board the Discovery Princess cruise ship in Seattle. State troopers arrested Ronquillo and charged him with false impersonation of a U.S. citizen, making and using a false document, and two counts of aggravated identity theft. Over his 4 days on the cruise ship, he allegedly made large cash withdrawals with a stolen credit card at the ship's casino. Ronquillo is a citizen of the Philippines who legally lives in the U.S. According to the affidavit, an officer with the Customs and Border Protection discovered the alleged crimes after looking for people on the ship who may be committing credit card fraud. That led officers to discover that the counterfeit documents used by Ronquillo had been used illegally before. Officers also realized that Ronquillo's appearance did not match the photograph on the identification papers. The officer then escorted Ronquillo off the ship for further questioning at the Customs and Border Protection office in downtown Juneau. Customs and Border Protection has had a prior history with him, according to the affidavit. He admitted to the scheme during questioning and said he had committed similar crimes on cruise ships before. He told officers he was working with another person in Seattle and planned to split the cash with them. According to the affidavit, he charged nearly $20,000 to the credit card. He also booked a flight out of Juneau International Airport on the same day he was arrested. A spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection in Alaska say the incident is fairly uncommon and isn't a trending problem. Ronquillo was released on bail a few days after he was booked at Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Court documents say Ronquillo then cut off his ankle monitor and attempted to flee Juneau. He's currently being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Facility. His next readiness hearing is on July 16th. You're listening to KTOO. Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. The City and Borough of Juneau and the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska released a draft risk assessment for the capital city today. The updated risk assessment will help the city and tribe update the borough's hazard mitigation plan, which expired in 2017. The plan will include projects to reduce the threat of hazards, and a final draft is expected in July. The 328-page risk assessment includes risks posed by severe weather, fires, tsunamis, floods, erosion, glacier changes, avalanches, volcanoes, dam failures, cybersecurity, and pollution. But unlike the last assessment, this draft also includes social and cultural vulnerabilities, including food security and sovereignty, sensitive sacred sites, housing, and future development. Sabrina Grubitz is the public safety manager for Tlingit and Haida. She says this is the first time the tribe has been included in the borough's hazard mitigation plan.
So we want to make sure that traditional knowledge is folded into the risk assessment and considered in how we approach disasters. We have a lot of value to add to it.
She says the next iteration of the draft should include more traditional place names and stories about disasters that have been passed down. Ryan O'Shaughnessy is the city's emergency manager. He says that an updated plan is required for Juneau to qualify for FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which the city plans to apply for to alleviate flooding in the Mendenhall Valley.
So we're hoping to use this plan to apply for funds that could help us find a long-term mitigation solution for Suicide Basin.
Community members are encouraged to read the draft and attend a public meeting on June 30th. Residents can submit public comment by July 1st. And Petersburg Borough Assembly on Monday approved limiting the town's senior sales tax exemption to just low-income seniors. But before any changes can be made official, the townspeople will have the final say. KFSK's Olivia Rose reports.
In Petersburg, any change to the sales tax must go to a public vote. And this fall won't be the first time residents will weigh in on the senior sales tax exemption. The Borough Assembly considered sunsetting the senior sales tax exemption several years ago. Assemblymember Jay Stanton Greger held office back then.
Passed in three readings, made it before the voters, and got utterly demolished by 8-9-1 ratio, give or take. And one of the big pieces of feedback we heard on why, and I think it made sense at the time, was it didn't have any protections for low-income seniors.
Stanton Greger said that this current proposal has been, quote, crafted with that in mind. The borough issues sales tax exemption cards to senior citizens who apply and pay a $100 fee. they must be at least 65 years old and live permanently in Petersburg to qualify. Seniors who choose to get their individual sales tax exemption card need to have it with them to use it. Cardholders can use it on most purchases, except for purchases or services meant for trade or business. The proposed change would make it so only low-income seniors qualify for the card. Seniors with annual incomes below about $34,000 or about $46,000 for couples are eligible for the state's Senior Benefits Program. Seniors whose income is more than that wouldn't qualify for the borough's exemption card under this change. Stanton Greger says accounting for the people just beyond that threshold becomes a kind of moving target for the borough.
Someone's always going to be left out. To administer that is really challenging.
He says the state has a long-established model to make that call. Assemblymember Bob Lynn agrees.
And the state also has a lot more different sources they can draw on to make sure that the income levels and everything is appropriate as compared to the borough here.
Petersburg's sales tax has been 6% for over three decades, and the town's population has aged a lot since the exemption began over four decades ago. Nearly a quarter of Petersburg's residents are seniors. Sales tax revenue is down from past years, and the borough is looking for ways to afford the increased cost of community services, especially school funding. The borough says it loses nearly $500,000 a year in tax revenue from the senior exemption. And according to the proposal, this change would bring in an estimated $350,000 to $400,000 to the borough, quote, while ensuring the exemption benefits those most in need, end quote. The assembly approved the move unanimously. Qualified voters of the borough will get the final say in the municipal election in October. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
And for a few weeks in February, Safety Roadhouse hosts Iditarod Mushers making their way to Nome. The Roadhouse is closed until May when it takes on a new life as a summer hangout spot. KNOM's Ben Townsend drove out to the iconic final checkpoint of the Iditarod Trail for an evening honoring a special mushing family.
Maybe 4 feet behind Mackie. Here comes Dick Mackie, Rick Swenson. They're all running in. They look tired. Mackie's running. Oh, my God.
The Mackie family entered the Iditarod history books in 1978 when Dick Mackie beat out Rick Swenson by a mere second to claim the title.
Lead dog across first. The race marshal says that makes it Mackie.
5 years later, it was his son Rick's turn to be champion.
What's it take to win an Iditarod?
Lots of hard work. That's the main thing. And good dogs.
Fast forward a few decades, it was Lance's turn.
From safety right now, this is his hardcore team.
Between 2007 and 2010, Lance Mackie won it four times in a row.
Lance Mackie, your 2008 Iditarod Sled Dog Race champion.
While the iconic sled dog race has taken many routes over the years, every musher and every Mackie makes one final stop at Safety Roadhouse before the final 20 miles to Nome. During the race in March, the Roadhouse is all Iditarod. But from May to September, Safety Roadhouse transforms into a fabled summer hangout. At the helm this summer is 16-time Iditarod veteran Hugh Neff.
Basically, all the bartenders of Nome have been egging me on to do this. So I got my TAPS card to be a bartender just 2 weeks ago. And I've been doing it for a week, and it's been fun. It's a job, I guess, but I'm actually having fun hanging out with people, too.
Neff's first encounter with the Mackies came in the 80s.
I'm in Chistochina and meet this guy named Jason Mackie and this other skinny guy walking back and forth, sort of talking to himself, and that was Lance Mackie.
Neff says he's spent tens of thousands of miles with Lance between the Iditarod, Yukon Quest, and Kobuk 440. He says that time gave him a unique perspective on the veteran musher.
I don't think people realize how much of Lance's spirit was just huger than any other dog musher by far. It was a combination of all the dogginess of that family and one person.
After a second run-in with cancer, Lance died in 2022.
The main thing he taught me was, and a lot of us, was that just because you go through difficult times, you can either choose to say why me, or you can say there's a reason why this might be happening to me and I'm gonna make the best of it. He was something else.
So tonight at Safety Roadhouse, it's a celebration of the Mackies. Iditarod edition newspapers featuring their faces are pinned to the walls, a subtle tribute to a mushing family as iconic as the Roadhouse itself.
On Front Street once again.
In Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
And the field of candidates for Alaska's governor grew to 4 last week. That's after Matanuska Susitna Borough Mayor Edna DeVries filed a letter of intent saying she's considering a run for governor. The letter allows her to start raising money for her campaign. DeVries, a Republican, says she's 90 to 95% sure she'll file to actually run. DeVries turns 84 next month. She was a state senator in the mid-1980s and more recently served as the mayor of Palmer. She's been the mayor of the Matsu Borough since 2021. In an interview last week, DeVries says she believes in limited government and is a supporter of the large permanent fund dividends in line with a decades-old formula.
The state has to live within its means, and I know that's going to be shrinking probably the size of government that we have in the state of Alaska.
Paying a full statutory dividend would require drastic cuts to state services or raising vast amount of new revenue. Lawmakers haven't approved a formula dividend since oil prices crashed in the mid-2010s and started relying on the permanent fund to pay for state services. DeVries also echoed some of Dunleavy's priorities when it comes to education. She says she's proud of the work her borough has done expanding charter schools in the Matsu. And she says she wants to see schools held accountable for poor performance.
I think that's the biggest decision right there is how do we continue to fund and but also get the accountability and the results that we want.
DeVries says she's been a, quote, Trumper since President Donald Trump announced his first run for office in 2016. Like the president, she said she'd like to expand resource development in the state. DeVries joins an all-Republican field for the 2026 governor's race. Candidates include Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom, former Senator Click Bishop, and businesswoman Bernadette Wilson. It is 62 degrees here in Juneau, mostly cloudy. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson.